In Ephesians chapter number 5, I'm going to bring you a very important thought this evening in the time that we have left here. The question is, are you empty? Are you empty? In Ephesians chapter number 5, verse number 18, the Bible says, "And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit." But be filled with the Spirit. I'm sure that you have all been there, as I have, where that little warning light comes on in the car and says that, hey, low fuel. You may even had a real smart car like my Toyota, and it says 38 miles to empty. Tells you how far you can go. And as you know, I had it figured out with my car that after my car said 0 miles till empty, I could still make it home to York, which was 32 miles. I hadn't really pushed it much further than that, but I knew if I saw it come, if I saw it go to zero, that I at least could still make it home. But how many of you have been on a trip somewhere and you weren't watching real close and you realized that the light came on and you didn't know how far to the next gas station? You're kind of like, oh no, I should have filled up back there. And you don't know how far you got to go. Now, in today's world of you know, cell phones and all these things, it takes all the fun out of it. You can just look it up, right? Oh, it's 27 miles, you know, or whatever. But you've been there in the past where you didn't have that and you thought, oh no, I'm just about out and I don't know how far I got to go. And not sure if you're going to make it. There's been two times in my life that I literally ran out of gas and rolled into the gas station. Or I ran out at the stoplight or at the, plate. Now, there's been other times I ran out and I was stuck. I was stranded. But there's been at least two times I made it right there. I mean, I just rolled in. You know, many Christians have completely missed the warning sign, the light, or the bell that God has put up for us to know where we are on our spirit gauge. We're not to be drunk with wine, we're in his excess, but be filled with the Spirit. The Holy Spirit wants us to be filled. God wants us to be filled with the Holy Spirit. There is a powerful comparison given to us here between being drunk and being filled with the Spirit. Three times in the Word of God, this comparison is given. Not just once here in our text, but two other times we see it as well. In Luke chapter 1, verse number 15, he says, "For he shall be great in the sight of the Lord, and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink, and he shall be filled with the Holy Ghost." And in Acts chapter 2, verse 15 and 17, he says, "For these are not drunkards, as ye suppose, seeing it be but the third hour of the day. But this is that which was spoken of by the prophet Joel, and it shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, I will pour out my Spirit upon all flesh." So this powerful comparison between being drunk and being filled with the Spirit. You see, the comparison is that you are under the influence of another. Even if you were to get stopped and you had been drinking, they would say, "Sir, have you been drinking?" Not me, but they would say, "Ma'am, have you been drinking?" Are you under the influence of alcohol at this time? They call it being under the influence because you know as well as I do when a man is drunk, he will do things that he would not normally do. Somebody on drink that is timid will all of a sudden become a talker. Boy, they'll tell you the stories. I mean, it changes them. They just change. Sometimes people that are boisterous and loud, when they get under the influence, they're quiet and sullen. It changes them. They're the same man, but they're under the influence, and it makes them another man. I can't help but tell the story of the drunk that made his way into our house in the middle of the night. I know you've heard about drunks like trying to get into a house and realize that they're at the wrong one. Well, I don't usually lock our door. I just leave it unlocked, which drives my wife nuts. And one night I went to bed at about 4:30 in the morning on a Saturday night, getting ready for Sunday. And at about 5:30 in the morning on Sunday morning, I imagine this guy stayed at the bar until last call and was making his way home, and he ran his car in the ditch. And he came, walked in our house, walked all the way into my bedroom, and shook me awake. Standing over me, this scraggly-looking guy. And I mean, when I woke up, I didn't know he was drunk. I didn't know why this guy was in my bedroom. And I know I've had people tell me, I would have shot him. I'm like, well, I would have been in trouble. He was just a drunk. He didn't know where he was. But he jumped back, and he's like, don't freak out, man. Don't freak out. I just need some help. And I'm like, you get out of my house, and then I'll talk to you. So I went outside, and I deduced that this man was drunk, and he had run his car in the ditch, and he wanted me to pull him out of the ditch. And I said, well, I'll get some help for you. And I called the police. I'm sure that's not the kind of help he wanted, but I wasn't going to let him drive away and kill somebody. He was obviously inebriated. He was under the influence. But, you know, no man in their right mind would walk into somebody's house in the middle of the night, walk all the way to their bedroom like we're old friends, like we're buddies. Hey, man, I need some help. No, he did that because he was under the influence of alcohol. And the Holy Spirit, God knows that when we are under the influence of the Holy Spirit, we will do things that we wouldn't normally do. You see, it will make a backwards Christian bold for Jesus Christ. Because we're under the influence of the Holy Spirit of God, it brings us out of our shell. It takes us to a new level spiritually. He's changed into another man. This is a practical command that's given to us. It's be filled. It's not a positional command, as some people might teach. Oh, I'm just waiting for the filling of the Holy Spirit. I'm just waiting for the baptism of the Holy Spirit. You hear a phrase like that sometimes. You see, positionally, we've been filled. We have all of the Holy Spirit we're ever going to get. The Holy Spirit came and dwelt in us at the moment of salvation. The Comforter has come. Positionally, we've been given the Holy Spirit. Positionally, we are sealed by the Holy Spirit. That's not something that we do. We are sealed by the Holy Spirit until the day of redemption. We don't do that. But the command here is, practically speaking, we are to be filled. And I believe that you understand that what we're talking about here is how much of us does the Holy Spirit have? Not much. How much do we have of the Holy Spirit? To be filled. It's a practical thing. It's a choice that we make to yield ourselves to God and to the Holy Spirit. If we invited you over to our house for dinner and said, hey, you're welcome, come on over, and we set some food down over you and by you, and Mary said, okay, eat up. And you said, oh, you know what? I think I'm just going to have some water. That's your choice. Positionally, everything was there. You were there at the house. The food was prepared. It was set in front of you. Everything was ready to go. But you made the choice not to get full. If you left hungry, it was the choice you made. You see, the Holy Spirit is there and available for us. It's not something magical or mystical or unattainable. If as Christians we're not filled with the Holy Spirit, it's because we made the choice not to be. The filling is an obligation, not optional. It's a command. He says, be ye filled with the Holy Spirit. It's a command that we as Christians are supposed to be filled with the Holy Spirit of God. Wouldn't it be nice if we had a filler gauge, a spirit gauge we could look at in the morning and find out, how much of the Holy Spirit do I have? Oh, not quite full. I better top it off. We don't really have a gauge like that, but God's given us a few signs here in this passage of Scripture that tell us if we're filled with the Holy Spirit or not. Look in Ephesians chapter number 5 at verse number 19. So in verse number 18, he tells us to be filled with the Holy Spirit, right? And then in verse number 19, one sign, one way of knowing whether we're filled with the Holy Spirit or not, he says, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Is there a song in your heart? Is there a song in your heart? You say, Pastor Caleb, how do I know if I'm full of the Holy Spirit? Am I filled with the Holy Spirit? Is there a song in your heart? That's one way you can see your level of filling of the Holy Spirit. Because the Holy Spirit's going to put a song in your heart. You're going to have a song. Verse number 20. Giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Is there gratitude in your heart? You say, how am I doing, Pastor Caleb? How do I know if I'm filled with the Holy Spirit? Is there a song in your heart? Is there a song on your lips? Is there gratitude on your lips? Is there gratitude in your heart? That's how you know if you're filled with the Holy Spirit of God. Do you find you're grumbling and complaining? There's a pretty good sign you're low. You're running low on the Holy Spirit. Look at verse number 21. Submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Is there unity in your life? This crosses boundaries here in every area of your life, I think. Submitting yourselves to one another. Is there unity in your life? Is there unity in your home? Is there peace in your home? Only by pride cometh contention. And we're filled with the Holy Spirit. I can guarantee you there'll be peace in the home. When he and she are filled with the Holy Spirit, there's going to be unity in the home. Do you have unity in the church house? Do you have unity in your relationships? If you don't, there's a sign of your level of your filling of the Holy Spirit. Let me give you one more. We have to look at a different passage of Scripture. We're going to see the other place where the contrast is given. I'll just read it to you so you don't have to turn there. In Luke chapter 1, verse number 15 and 16, he says, for he shall be great in the sight of the Lord, and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink, and he shall be filled with the Holy Ghost from even his mother's womb. But why is he going to be filled with the Holy Ghost? Why? And it's found in verse number 16. He says, and many of the children of Israel shall he turn to the Lord their God. Are you filled with the Holy Spirit? Are you bringing others to Jesus? There's a gauge. There's a warning sign. There's a quarter tank mark. There's a half tank mark. There's something there to tell you how you're doing on your filling of the Holy Spirit. So the gauge markers you got here, is there a song in your heart? Is there gratitude on your lips? Is there unity in your life? And are you bringing others to Christ? There's some prerequisite conditions that are necessary to be filled with the Holy Spirit. In John chapter 7, verse number 37, 38, and 39, he says, in the last days, that great day of feast, Jesus stood and he cried, saying, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. Are you thirsty? It's like if we said, hey, come on over and we're going to have some food and we put all this food out in front of you and you said, oh, man, I just ate. I just ate at Outback Steakhouse and, man,
I couldn't eat another thing. I mean, I'm sure what you've prepared is amazing and delicious, but I couldn't eat. But what about, do you desire, are you thirsty for the Holy Spirit? So if you're thirsty, you'll want it. You'll desire it. The prerequisite is that you need, that you desire it, that you want it, that you're thirsty. And that's what I hope as a church and as individuals. We get to the place where we want it so much that we're willing to sacrifice, that we're willing to put other things aside. We're willing to be a little less critical of others and a little more critical of our own heart. And say, Lord, speak to me. Lord, stir me. Lord, show me. Lord, change me. The prerequisite condition to be filled with the Holy Spirit is to be thirsty, to desire it, to want it. Do you want it tonight? He that believeth on me, as the Scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. But this spake he of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive. Do you believe? Do you believe in the Holy Spirit? Do you believe that he can come and you're struggling within your life and you're facing temptation and you're dealing with struggles and you're having a hard time getting victory over sin? Do you understand the Holy Spirit can help you? You know why so many Christians are weary and well-doing? Because they're running on empty. I remember a message that I heard preached by Pastor Edwards, who came and spoke for our Valentine's banquet last year, 2 years ago. Time flies. Pastor Edwards downstairs, he preached a message. Well, I remember a message he preached when I was in college. And it was called, It's the Holy Spirit, Stupid. That was the title of his message. I never forgot it. It's the Holy Spirit. We're trying to live our Christian life and go through these motions and make the Christian life happen, and we're getting weary. We're getting tired, and that's because we're trying to do it on empty, because we're not filled up. You know how weary you get when physically you haven't eaten, when physically you haven't replaced those electrolytes, you haven't gotten anything to drink, you haven't fed the physical body for a while? Christians are going through their life week after week after week after week without getting filled up spiritually. We're anemic, we're weak, and we're dying because we aren't filled with the Spirit of God. We need the Spirit to fill us, and I'll tell you what, it won't be hard to get to church then. It won't be hard to serve Him then. It won't be hard to be a witness then. It won't be hard to walk away from sin then. Why? Because the Spirit is inside and He's strengthening us and He's feeding us and He's enabling us to do what we thought we couldn't do. Because He's there. The Spirit is there doing a work. It's not us. We get bold and we get confident, not in our ability, not in what we're going to say, but in Jesus Christ and in the Holy Spirit that's in us. Because we know what He's doing through us. But when we try and go and do those things without being filled, man, it gets hard. Man, I get so hard. Man, I get so tired of it. Man, it's just dragging along. It's such a difficult thing. Christian, we need to be filled, and the prerequisite is that we're thirsty. The prerequisite is that we believe that Jesus Christ can, or the Holy Spirit can, and that He will fill us. And the prerequisite is that we need to ask for the filling. Ask that to be filled. If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask Him? You want to have power to live this Christian life and to be what God wants you to be? You need to be filled. You lust and you have not. You kill and you desire to have and you cannot obtain. You fight and war, yet you have not. Because you ask not. We're fighting the spiritual battle, the spiritual warfare. We're going through our Christian life, and day by day, we're trying to do it on our own, and we don't have power of God because we haven't stopped to ask Him for it. That's why we stopped for prayer tonight. That's why we're having these prayer meetings. That's why we're trying to take a little bit of extra time and turn our hearts towards heaven so that He might get a hold of us, that we might be filled with the Spirit of God. Are you running on empty tonight? Do you need to be filled? Ask God to fill you. Ask God to fill you. Dear Lord Jesus, we come to you tonight and we ask you, God, that you'll be with us as a church. I pray, Lord, you'll be with every individual present here. I pray, God, you'll be with those that can't be here tonight. Some are homesick. Some are just not here. They're just not in church this evening, but they're a part of this church. They would call this their church home if they were asked, and they're not in God's house this evening. Lord, I pray that you would be with our church, with every individual that's a part of it. And I pray, God, that as a church, we would be a people yielded to you, following the Holy Spirit's leading in our life. Lord, I pray we wouldn't be trying to do it on empty. Lord, we ask you to be with the revival that's coming up, that you'd prepare our hearts, that you'd prepare Brother Bagwell, that you'd give him the exact messages that are needed, that you would do a great work in our midst. Lord, I have no power to make it happen. But God, we're asking you to do it. We're asking you to do a work and start in me. Thank you in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Listen, spend a little extra time with God this week. Come and be a part of the prayer meetings. Get filled with the Spirit of God. Take those notes. Look at that stuff getting ready for revival. And let God do a work in your heart. Thank you. You're dismissed.